Great job on the piano. Brother Bob Hayes, come on up here. Brother Bob has something that I'm sure we'll all enjoy, especially us older adults. But I think the reason why we want to keep the kids in here is because we want them to appreciate what he has to say as well. So you come right up.
Older adults. Did y'all hear that? They get these glasses on or we won't be reading nothing. Thank you, Brother Rick, for allowing me to come up here this morning. Let me say Merry Christmas to everybody. I didn't say Happy Holidays either. I said Merry Christmas. First of all, I want to say to the young people here this morning, the teenagers and the young adults, this year at Christmas, don't forget parents, grandparents, and don't forget to thank them for all they've done for you over the years. Because I didn't realize till I was a grown man, I didn't realize the sacrifice they made some years just so you could have Christmas. But then when I realized it, I thought, my goodness, Christmas is more than just getting gifts under the tree. So let me do this poem for you this morning. I heard this poem, and somebody told me that it was even on the radio this morning. I'd never heard it before in my life, but when I heard it, it just really touched me. And a lot of things have happened this week that fell right in line with it. Christmas, 1954. Some of you may have heard it. I remember Christmas, 1954. Mom and Dad were sick, not to mention broke and poor. Little sister wished on every page of that mail order catalog. She wasn't old enough to know that Daddy didn't even have a job. Mom and Dad were hurting, but there was nothing they could do. The bills were way too many, and the dollars way too few. More than once I heard Mama cry behind her bedroom door. Things were looking dark for Christmas, 1954. I slipped out one night and went to church. I thought it might help to pray. Time was running out. It'd soon be Christmas Day. Lord, take care of my little brother and sister. That's all I'm asking for. That's the way I prayed Christmas 1954. Now, I can't explain the feeling as I knelt down on my knees, but somehow I just knew there'd be presents beneath the tree. So I ran home and I told Mom and Dad I was trusting in the Lord that He'd take care of our Christmas, 1954. Well, before you knew it, it was Christmas Eve and nothing had turned up. My faith was getting weak. Things were looking pretty rough. Daddy got the old Bible out and we all gathered round. He read the Christmas story and I was feeling mighty down. Nothing shall be impossible with God, the angel said. And I kept thinking on that scripture as the little ones went off to bed. In the silence of that Christmas Eve, I had prayed and walked the floor. Lord, send us a miracle for Christmas of 1954. Well, I'll never forget that morning. The squeals of laughter that made me wake up. The children were running and shouting, and the room was plumb full of stuff. There was ham and fruit and candy and shiny toys galore. Little brother said he found them piled just inside the door. Well, I looked up at Mom and Dad, and they just stood there in tears. We've never learned the answer, even after all these years. It could have been the preacher. Or the folks that live next door. Or maybe God just sent an angel for Christmas 1954. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen. Wonderful. Wasn't you glad to hear that? It's worth hearing today. We're going to let our kids slip off to Children's Church. Thank you, Brother Bob, for sharing that special poem that up until I read it last week, I'd never heard it before. So it's a something that has a tremendous message, and hope you were blessed by it. Miss Nick's going to come sing for us. Just you come on up here, because I've only got two verses to sing. You be ready to sing for us, all right? Would you stand with me as we read Luke chapter 2? Our text verses are verses 6 and 7. Luke chapter 2, just follow along with me if you would. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that is, completed, that she should be delivered, that is, to give birth. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for the sweet spirit we feel in this place already. And Lord, we just thank you for the fact that we can celebrate, Lord, not only your birth, but the fact that you died for us and you rose again. That we celebrate the life of a living God who is among us today. Thank you for your presence. And I pray, Father, that you'll have liberty to move about us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that our heart's door will be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God to respond in the manner you'd have us to respond. Bless now in the remainder of this service the preaching of your word, and we just give you praise for what's been said already. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Amen. Thank you. Enjoyed that. Wasn't expecting that this morning. I didn't know what she was going to sing, but that was a blessing. Luke chapter 2, if you'll look back there in our text this morning. Let me ask you a question. I'm sure I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Have you ever missed something that's been really important? Maybe like an anniversary or birthday. Brother Hank, you hadn't missed your anniversary this tomorrow, right? You did? Okay. And Miss Meadows, as a matter of fact, they both told me they had forgotten that their anniversary is tomorrow, if it wasn't for Miss Holland, who was there on the day they were married, then they would have forgotten maybe. But now, listen, you know, we all sometimes miss important events or days, and for others it may be an important appointment. For me personally, when that happens, I really feel sick inside. I mean, I really do. I don't like to miss appointments or especially birthdays or special occasions or something, but I have been known to do that a few times over the years, and especially as I get older, we do that, obviously. There'll be many this year that no doubt will miss events in their life. I've often wondered what Thomas may have felt when he missed coming to church on Sunday evening, and he discovered that the resurrection Jesus had come and he had missed it. You know, I know he must have doubted the report of the other disciples, but I wonder if a lot of that was that he just didn't want to think that he missed something that was so important. We don't like to miss anything, do we? Especially that we know is something that's important. There'll be many who will miss Christmas this year. I'm not talking about the men and women who are serving in military. And I appreciate their service. Some who are overseas. I'm not talking about our missionaries who are not able to be home in the States. And I'm not talking about many folks who will be restricted to the hospital bed. But I am talking about healthy people who will go through the motions of some sort of celebration, but they'll do it often in ignorance of what Christmas is all about. It might seem a ridiculous thought to us, but how could people, we might think, here in America miss Christmas? You know, we've been bombarded with you know, the Christmas advertising since October, at least. You know, still there, most people, even with all of that, will miss Christmas.
they may observe the season because the culture says it's the right thing to do, but most people are totally oblivious to the reality of what they're celebrating. Let me ask you, have you ever considered the message of what most Christmas greeting cards say now? You know, it's sad when you go in and you want something that's going to really promote what Christmas is all about, but their greeting cards are so generic and they're so politically correct that you would be led to believe that Christmas has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Christ. Well, you know, that's none of those things are new to us, I know, because we've seen a lot of the things that should remind us of Christmas are no longer there, sadly. But let me remind you of some folks in the Bible who I believe in this scripture that we're going to read this morning and another passage in just a moment, they missed the very first Christmas. Or they missed the first Christmas. You know, as we consider them, I want us to see their spirit and their lives, the spirit in their lives and the things that were going on in their heart and the things that were going on in the time period that they live, and see if though that may not fit today, if it's not a continuation, matter of fact, of what we see today. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 2. I know that sometimes we read the Christmas story, and this is definitely probably the one that most people will read during this time, but you'll find in Luke chapter 2 there are a couple of things here I want to point out, and then we'll go to another passage here in a moment. But as we've read Luke chapter 2, and really, of course, verse 6 tells us that Mary had now come to the point to where she was ready to deliver, right? To give birth to Jesus. And then verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, I want us to see three the lives of people here. And this one that we see in verse 7, really, you kind of almost have to wonder what was the innkeeper thinking here. What was going on here whenever Mary and Joseph approached the innkeeper to find room, because here Joseph's wife was ready, and it was obvious she was ready to deliver, and yet the innkeeper says, we don't have any room for you. The innkeeper, we would have to say, would be the one, the first, who really missed Christmas. And it made me wonder, and as I was studying this passage, and a lot of this just speculation maybe for some, and because we really, unless we talk with the innkeeper, we really don't know the ins and out. But I would have to imagine, because of what was taking place during this time of year, the innkeeper was very busy. And so we would have to say the innkeeper, because of what was going on, he had the spirit of busyness. Would you kindly agree with that with me? That you think that, I mean, I don't know if you've ever worked in a motel or a hotel or whatever, and you work the front desk, and man, you've got these big events taking place. It's people are coming to town from everywhere, and yet you go to the desk hoping, and you may have found this to be the case traveling on the road, and you're tired, and you stop for somewhere for a good night's rest, and you go in and you're told that, hey, we don't have any rooms available. And how disappointing that is. And of course, I remember doing that one time when I was in college, wasn't married, but I remember that the fact that I was so tired and decided that I wasn't going to try to fight trying to find a motel room. I'd just sleep in my car. And I did. I pulled off into a roadside, and I wouldn't recommend that today, but I pulled off into a roadside park, locked the door, rolled the windows up, and I slept in my car. And, you know, it must have been really a difficult time here. for this innkeeper. So I feel for him to some degree. We don't know his name. The scripture doesn't specifically mention him. But that night in Bethlehem, a young man and his pregnant wife confronted this innkeeper. And he turned them away, saying he had no room for them. And so we would say, would you agree with me, that he missed the first Christmas? Now, this was not typical of Jewish culture, by the way, for him to do this. It would be highly unusual, by the way, for a woman who was about to give birth to be turned away with no offer of assistance. And yet, that's exactly what happened here. Where there would usually be a midwife, maybe, there's no one to assist Mary. Mary was all alone when it came to delivering Jesus. Where usually someone would take the baby and clean the baby up and maybe wrap him in a nice, warm, comfortable blanket. Mary took Jesus and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, which really were nothing but little strips of cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. Where there would have usually been a cradle or maybe a crib to lay a baby in, to place a newborn baby in, Mary had to use an animal's feeding trough. The innkeeper missed Christmas because he was preoccupied. Now, you see, it was census time in Bethlehem, the Bible says. And during that time period, every year people would gather. The living descendants of David would gather there. It was a busy time of the year. The town was crowded, and the innkeeper was very busy. He was not hostile. I don't believe that we could say that he was a bad person or he was hostile toward Mary or Joseph. I'm not indicating that or trying to insinuate that. It's just that he was busy. You see, he was so he was maybe not even unsympathetic. He was just too busy. Exactly like millions of people today, right? A lot like millions of people today, their souls are consumed with activity as we see the hustle and bustle as you hear about. Not necessarily sinful activity that maybe people are caught up in, and I'm talking about good and sometimes good Christian people that should be promoted and focusing on Christmas, but yet it's not necessarily their sinful activity that they're caught up in. It's just that sometimes we get so active in life that sometimes we get so busy that with the shopping and the banquets and the parties and the concerts and the school activities and the programs and a host of other things that just compete for our attention. I don't know about you, but I can see myself there. I've had a lot of that going on here recently. But in the clutter of all this activity, many people find themselves preoccupied and they miss the Son of God. Why? Because of the busyness. And by the way, in all reality, it's not just at Christmas, is it? But it's all throughout the year sometimes we find ourselves so preoccupied with life and things around us that we neglect to think of Jesus and celebrate Christ, not just at Christmas, but really every day of the year. We often find there's no room for Jesus in our lives because we find ourselves sometimes we miss Him. We miss Christmas. And the innkeeper, I don't criticize him. I don't look down on him. I can relate to him from time to time. But sometimes we get caught up in the spirit of busyness, don't we? And then the second thing that I want to point out that I think that we find going on, and this is found in Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew, go back with me to Matthew chapter 2. And I want you to notice King Herod. Now, King Herod, he no doubt missed Christmas. He would be our second character that we would look at here in the Bible that we would say missed Christmas because he had the spirit of fear that overtook him. And he missed Christmas. He missed the first Christmas. And Matthew chapter 2, and look with me if you would in verse 1. Now when or after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. saying, "Where is he?" Speaking of Jesus, "that is born King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They've come, or they have come to worship, and they truly did come to worship him. Verse 3. "But when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And notice what in Micah, you'll find this, I believe Micah chapter 5 verse 2, the same the prophet Micah prophesied in Micah 5, 2 in verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor," which simply means a ruler, "that shall rule my people Israel." Notice, Herod missed Christmas. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, that is, he secretly called them together, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He was really demanding information here. What time is this star going to appear? And verse 8, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently," that is carefully, "for the young child," speaking of Jesus, "and when ye have found him, bring me word again," that is, "report to me again, that I may come and worship him also." We'll see that last statement. We'll see in just a moment, reminds us that Herod missed Christmas. You see, the reason why he missed Christmas, because he had the spirit of fear. Herod, he wasn't ignorant. He was very well informed. He had people he could call on that could give him the information at the time he needed it. Matter of fact, he was one who wanted to know details. He was the king, and he served many years as king. But yet, he was not the least informed about what was going on. He knew what was going on. Herod pretended that he wanted to worship Jesus. Verse 8 says that. But yet, he was really fearful of this one, speaking of Jesus, who was called the King of the Jews. He didn't want any competition for his throne. In other words, Herod's intentions was really to kill Jesus, whom he saw as a potential threat to his throne. You see, Herod was a ruthless man. Just to give you a little background on Herod, he wasn't the type of guy that you would want to be friends with. He wasn't the type fellow you'd vote for. I mean, he was ruthless, he was wicked, although he came across here as one who was caring, who actually wanted to find Jesus to worship him. In my Bible, in verse 8, outside of the last statement, "that I may come and worship him also," I have a question mark, because Herod told a lie there. He didn't care about worshiping Jesus. He had intentions of killing Jesus. You see, he was a ruthless man. His paranoia was legendary. He was fearful of those who would come and assume power over him. Matter of fact, he had 10 wives and 12 children. I won't comment on that. But one of his wives had a brother who was the high priest. He murdered him. And then he had his wife, and then he murdered his wife also. He was afraid of his two oldest sons to the point to where he was fearful of them for the fact that he was afraid they would take over his throne. So what did he do? He had them both murdered as well. He was such a brutal, merciless man that it really isn't hard to understand how he could do such a thing, as despicable thing that he did in slaughtering innocent children. Look down in verse 16. Because you see, he missed Christmas because he feared Jesus. Look in verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So all of this was done out of the fear that someone else would take his throne. He was a wicked man. Would you agree with that? But Herod's fear is also found in many today. You see, there's a spirit of fear that's among us today when it comes to Jesus. That many will miss Christmas because of that spirit of fear. You see, like Herod, they won't allow anything to interfere with their career. Not going to let it happen. I'm not going to let anything interfere with my position in life or the power that I have or the ambition or my plans or my lifestyle. Not going to let it happen. You see, they're not about to let someone else be king of their lives. Why? Because of the spirit of fear. Like Herod, they see Jesus as a threat, and so they miss Christmas. And I'm not saying that's you, but yet that may, that some, from time to time we find that, I can't get too busy in church. If I get too busy, they may want me to sing in the choir. If I start going to church, and they may want me to come to Sunday school, and may invite me to Sunday school, and so I can't get too much of Jesus. Listen, folks, we can't have too much of Jesus, can we? And I'm gonna just shoot straight with you. We may never get to the point where we think, well, I can have too much church. Now I know sometimes, and I know we, this is a busy time, and that's, we're trying to accommodate family time and all, and that's the reason why we're not having this evening service and a few other things. But you know what? You'll find it's very rare we ever cancel a service. But because you see, may it not be that we ever get to the point to where we think, well, we just got so many. And you wouldn't believe sometimes. And I know your life is busy. My life is busy. And when you start having kids and you've got ball games to attend and you've got programs and you've got family, listen, it can really overtake us sometimes. If not careful, this is the time of year, believe it or not, where people begin to pull back and start getting out of church, looking for the reason, well, I don't need to go as much. Listen, we need to get, I honestly believe we need to find ourselves more committed and more faithful because Jesus is coming back soon. And I firmly believe that. As I've said, and all older preachers shared this years ago, listen, we may be the generation that hears the trumpet sound. And every time I think of that statement, as I heard that preacher say that, you know, and I heard that 20 years ago, I'm thinking, wow, you know what? I didn't want Jesus to come then because I was a lot younger and I wanted to live a little bit longer. But I'm at a point now where if Jesus came today, I'd be okay. And I'd love to be the generation that gets to brag in heaven, well, at least I got to hear the trumpet sound. Because, you know, there's always going to be that crowd that says, well, we got to be there for the creation. And then you got this other crowd. So I'd like to be the part of that generation. Well, I got to hear the trumpet sound. Oh, listen, it's going to be a glorious day, isn't it? But you know what? There are going to be some like Herod that are going to miss Christmas because of the spirit of fear, that if I get too involved or if I stay too busy in the Lord's work, then, you know, I may have to give up this or give up that. And I really can't get too close to Jesus because of that. You see, I found that people don't mind taking off work at Christmas time, but they don't want Him to be their king. You know, I'm sure you won't hear the atheist complain about getting time off, will you? Well, I haven't heard one atheist say, well, you know, I don't like to take off for Christmas and get paid for it. But I guarantee you there's a bunch of atheists who will stand up and tell you how much they don't believe in Christmas and buy all these billboards, but they're the very ones that are taking advantage of getting days off and being paid for it and enjoying it. Oh, listen. Herod missed Christmas because of the spirit of fear. There's another group that missed Christmas. Look in Matthew chapter 2 with me again, and we find a group that's kind of hidden in the crowd here a little bit. But this group of anybody who should not have missed Christmas, this group should have not missed it. because they knew better. They had the knowledge. They had the intelligence. They knew what Scripture said. But yet they missed Christmas. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, speaking of Herod again, when Herod gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Where is Christ going to be born? He went to the people who knew the answer. The religious crowd. Notice their response. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, from thus it is written by the prophet. And they even give scripture, Micah 5:2, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You see, the religious leaders miss Christmas because of their spirit of indifference. Because of their spirit of indifference. Well, this is an amazing passage when you think of it, Scripture. Because you see, when Herod had heard of the birth of the new king, he called together the religious leaders, which was the right thing to do. He, in other words, if you want some information about what the Bible has to say, what does Scripture say, you're not going to look for plumbers necessarily. Not that they may not know the answer, right? Brother Oberding, don't take that personal, okay? You're not going to look for, you should look for the, folks who study the Word, right? Preachers. And the scribes, they studied the Word. They studied prophecy, and they were known as the temple hierarchy, these religious leaders. They were mostly Pharisees who were authorities on Jewish law. They were professional scholars, in other words. Their specialty was explaining the application of Scripture. They knew exactly where the Messiah was to be born. But they lacked the faith to accompany the Magi, that is the wise men, to the place where he was. So they told Herod what the prophets had written and where the Messiah would be born, yet they missed Christmas. Where were they when Jesus was born? You see, the Jewish people longed for Messiah ever since Moses was prophesied that a great prophet would come. They were looking for their Messiah. They waited eagerly for a deliverer from their oppression. And yet the religious leaders never even bothered to walk a few miles. And it wasn't but just a few miles to Jerusalem, to the south of Jerusalem, matter of fact, to the city of Bethlehem, a small village outside of Jerusalem, to see for themselves if indeed, if you knew the Messiah is coming and you've taught people that and you've told them this is what Scripture says, wouldn't you want to check it out? They didn't even bother checking it out. Why? Because of their indifference. Maybe they didn't care. You see, if the truth was known, they didn't feel that they needed Jesus. You see, they were self-righteous. They kept the law. They don't need Jesus. They were so right, self-righteous that, we're so religious and self-righteous, we don't need to know. We have all the answers. They felt that they were already all that God could ever ask of them. That they had reached that plateau in their life. They don't necessarily need to go to church every Sunday, maybe. They don't need to read their Bible. They don't need to pray because, you know what? They've attained. They had a spirit of indifference that caused them to miss Christmas. They were perfect in their own minds and they were filled with pride. You see, church, indifference is a terrible sin against Jesus Christ, isn't it? It really is. And sadly, it's one of the most common reactions that we face today in America is indifference. People that are indifferent don't think that they need a Savior. People that are indifferent don't think that, in other words, the people that are indifferent, they think that they're all right just the way they are. They don't need to change. They're fine just the way they are. They go to church every so often. They read their Bible every now and then. And so, I'm fine, preacher. People that are different, they don't necessarily oppose Christ. They just ignore Him. People that are indifferent, listen, that's just the way life becomes. Multitudes of people today will miss Christmas because they just don't care. I read a little story of a little boy. This little boy was invited to play a part as the innkeeper in the annual children's Christmas play at his church. Each time during the rehearsal, it came time for him to tell Joseph and Mary that there was no room, that he couldn't say his lines. The director finally asked him, said, "Why are you having so much trouble saying your lines?" The little boy told him, "I just can't send Jesus away. He can have my room. I can't send Jesus away. He can have my room." Oh, listen. It's a great lesson to learn from that little boy, isn't it? May it be that God helps us to learn from this little boy and make room for Jesus in our life, not just at Christmas, but every day of our lives. Make room for Jesus every day. Because you know what? There's going to be a time, as some people have, I have counseled with people over the years. You would, and listen, if you could only hear the heart, the brokenness in their heart. When I've had people who are getting ready to get divorced or people who are going through difficulties in their life, who would share with me, if I only put Jesus rightful place in my life would be different. You know, and that's true for all of us, isn't it? Because you know what? If not careful, we get caught up in the busyness of life, don't we? We get caught up and sometimes feel like if I do too much, then, you know, Jesus may require me to go to the mission field, maybe. He may want me to sing in the choir. Listen, and so we have that spirit of fear that sometimes overtakes us. And then there's that spirit of, like the religious leaders, of indifference. Sometimes we think, well, because we are busy doing the Lord's work, we are active. I do go to church. I don't really need a lot of that extra stuff, preacher. When really we miss out on that personal time with God daily, devotions, prayer. When really, may it never get to the point we have too much of Jesus. You know what? I firmly believe no one has to miss Christmas, do they? You know, whether it's ignorant preoccupation, selfish fear, or prideful indifference, all are different expressions of one main reason that people miss Christmas. A lot of it has to do with unbelief. You know, let me ask you, if you've been missing Christmas, yeah, you may get presents, you may eat a big dinner, you may decorate a tree, but you know in your heart that you're no different from the innkeeper. Herod, listen, needed Jesus, didn't he? The religious leaders, they needed Jesus. And you sometimes, and I sometimes, we miss the reality of Christmas, but let's not miss it. You know, if there's unconfessed sin, and you might be a believer here this morning, if there's unconfessed sin, let's get it right. You know what? We don't have to wait for a new year, a resolution to make things right with God. Because you know what? We may not even be promised another day and tomorrow. Yeah, it may be that trumpet sounds today, and that would be great, but hopefully there's not sin that's unconfessed in the life of the believer. Or if you're here and you're not a believer, don't turn away. God has something special for you today, and that's Jesus. Would you give your heart and life to Him today? Whatever your need is today, I invite you to come on this invitation. God, I believe, has spoke to heart, but unfortunately there'll be some that'll be too busy to let God have the rightful place in their life. Hopefully that'll not be you. Open your heart up to the Lord like this little boy did and give Him room. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed with no one looking around. Our musicians will come and listen. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, maybe He spoke to you in Sunday school, maybe in the last few weeks, and you haven't done anything about it, why put it off? Why not today determine, hey, I'm going to do business with God? If it means coming and having a little time of prayer at this altar, praying for someone, or maybe confessing that sin that's been hidden in your life because you've been too busy, too wrapped up, or in yourself or whatever, listen, why not lay it before the Lord?